Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future. And life is worth living because he lives. Aren't you glad he lives? He lives within my heart. How do I know he lives today? Because he lives within my heart. If you've never been saved, I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. I couldn't imagine going through what this world is facing today and not knowing the Lord. Thinking about the peace that passes all understanding. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, I want to thank so many folks at the Hilltop Baptist Church. The many things, I don't know what's going on here. And I do appreciate you allowing us to use this avenue as we've tried to get our feet from underneath us as we're trying to figure out what we're doing. And thank you for the opportunities to preach here. We really want to encourage our folks. We do want to help them. Many of the folks, they don't have internet. Many of the folks, they don't have the ability to live stream or to get on a computer. And I appreciate those who have made DVDs and then brought them over to the folks' house and then they played it on a DVD player and watched it at a later time. Appreciate the meals that have been prepared. We haven't stopped praying for our missionaries. We've got those little cards that we pass out every Sunday night and Wednesday night. You guys have been sending them in the mail to each other and then you pray over them and you send them to somebody else. It's great to hear that the Ellis's made it home safely, and Ron and Victoria Van Horn made it home safely. The Bromagens are scheduled to be home later this month. Just continue to pray for one another. Thank you for all who texted us, called us, greeted us for our 25th wedding anniversary. It was one of the most unique anniversaries of our life. No doubt, we decided to rent a hotel room and they called us up and they said, we have received your payment and all is well. We only have one question for you. And I said, what's that? And they said, are you a resident of Erie County? And I said, unfortunately, yes, we are. And she said, well, if you're a resident of Erie County, we are not allowed to rent to any resident that could stay at home. So they refunded our money. So my wife and I was trying to brainstorm to think about what God would have us to do together. So we went to an abandoned parking lot and we got takeout and we fed the birds and we ate. And then we drove to Niagara Falls and we walked all around and it was deserted. Usually there's thousands upon thousands of people out there. But to see God's creation, well, I tell you, it was something else. But for our 25th anniversary, that's what we did. We had a great time in the Lord. We enjoyed the fellowship. And it's definitely something we will never, ever forget. We are praying for $80,000 for a faith promise. That is something we're praying for. And I pray at home you continue to pray for that $80,000 commitment. 45 cards now. 45 cards is what we're praying for. Brother Cowan already alluded to this, but you see the theme here on the front of our missions commitment card called Hold the Rope. I have a couple messages that will go along with this theme. I don't know if I'll preach them this week or whenever, but somebody gave me the idea of having a virtual missions conference. I wouldn't call this a virtual missions conference. I just tell you, we're going to have missionaries there when we normally would normally have the conference. That's basically what it is. It's not going to be professional, but I'll tell you what, I pray to be a blessing to you and encouragement to you at home. And start praying now what the Lord would have you to do. We'll get these cards to you. Of course, you have these. Pray for our missionaries. Make it some more. We did take on a few more missionaries. We were only bringing in one missionary that we did not financially support. And I pray that God will allow to give through us this year more money so that we could take on that missionary that was supposed to be with us. They've never preached in our church. They've never presented. They've never showed their slides. But I'm praying that we could definitely take them on for support. So you pray with me on that. And I'm sure if we reach that commitment level, I know without a doubt that we'd be able to take them on not only prayerfully, but also financially. Thank you for those who have been giving the coloring books. We're about there. And the crayons. Boy, I tell you what, it's just a blessing to be in a church that cares for one another, calling each other, visiting one another, and cooking meals, and you name it. You guys have done it, and I cannot thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to finish a message that I started last Sunday morning, and I had a good time preaching, and I guess tonight I'll go ahead and finish this message. But turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14, and we're going to read verse number 13 down through verse number 15. And I'll try not to belabor what I said last week because I have a lot more that the Lord has put upon my heart this week. I think it'll help you. I think it'll encourage you. It seems like there's really no end in sight. We really don't know. I mean, really, it's uncertain. It's uncertain times. But the Lord's in control. Look at verse number 13 of chapter 14 of the book of Exodus. And the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." That is the title of my message, Stand Still and See the Salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Father, tonight, I pray you'd bless your word as I know you will in Jesus' precious name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Last week we mentioned that Moses was called in a quiet time, in a quiet place. On the backside of the desert as he washed his father-in-law's sheep, he was called of God. And in a burning bush, Moses was called aside. And God said, Moses, I've prepared you for a special time, a special place to lead my people out of the land of Egypt. I tell you, it's been a quiet time. It's been a quiet moment in our history. I look at Samuel. I was reading this morning with this little Bible reading schedule, and it so happened to fall in the book of Samuel. And it's talking about how Samuel was laid down to sleep, and he ministered to Eli, and he thought that Eli was calling his name, and it wasn't Eli. It was actually God himself calling unto Samuel in a quiet moment, in a moment of time. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, in the quietness of the Garden of Eden. I tell you, use this time right now in your life, in the quiet moments that you have. Listen for the voice of God. Listen for what he's trying to tell you in this time and this season. Moses was called of God, and we found that his fears were not unfounded. He was not eloquent. He said, Lord, I don't know what to say. And what if the people don't believe me? And Lord, how do I do this? That's the way I feel about this live stream starting on Monday. I don't know what to do. But thank God, God gave me Callan, at least for that. Amen. But here is Moses, and he argued with the Lord, and God said, no, Moses, I want you to do this. And Moses said, okay, Lord, I'll go before Pharaoh. Now, when Moses said these words that we read in our text tonight, he said, fear ye not, stand still. A lot of times preachers preach to themselves, fear ye not. We all have fears at times. And I'm sure Moses, even at this time, the people were chiding with Moses. The people were complaining, why did you lead us out of Egypt so that we'd be killed? But Moses said, fear not. Stand still. It's probably one of the hardest things in my life to do is to stand still. I was visiting somebody the other day, and they said, Pastor, you never stand still. No, I don't stand still. But right now, in this season of life, we have to stand still. In Hebrew, the word translated to be still simply means to get your hands off of it. I'm the type of person, I want to fix something. I want to make it happen. I don't want it to be broken for too long. But you know what? Sometimes there's times where you just have to take your hands off of it and let God take care of it. And that's when the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. If I could fix this problem, if I could make it happen, then I wouldn't need God. Well, I'm glad tonight that I could put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he knows what's best. He's the one guiding the ship. He's the one leading us. He's the one walking through the valley of shadow of death with us. We need to leave it to God. We need to surrender it to him and let God manage the problem. Oftentimes we tend to panic. when God doesn't do it on our timetable. You realize that God's timing is different than our timing? His ways are higher than our ways. If it was me, it would already be over with. We'd be back in church. We'd be meeting together. We'd be fellowshipping, shaking hands, and hugging each other's necks. But it's not God's timetable. It's not time yet. God's not done teaching us a lesson yet. But we tend to panic a little bit. Remember, God's always right on time. He's never late. He's never late. It's his timetable, not ours. God's timing is just right. I was thinking about standing still and waiting, that it has to do with those two words. I was mentioning this to my wife. I said, standing still is about waiting on God. Sometimes that's hard to do, to wait. When I went to the Philippines, I had to learn to wait. It taught me to wait. The Bible tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants us to patiently wait. Did you know sometimes you can wait but not patiently? There have been many times I have waited for my wife but not patiently. There have been many times I've waited for the God but not patiently waited for him. Our Bibles tell us, wait on the Lord. Be of courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God wants us to wait patiently for him. And God knows we have much need of patience. But here's Moses. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Four things tonight I want to bring to your attention out of this passage in Exodus 14. First and foremost, stand still and see the power of God. When Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked a question. He said, who is this Lord? He said, I don't know who you're talking about. And Moses and Aaron says, God will show himself to you. Paraphrasing. God allowed 10 plagues to hit the land of Egypt because Pharaoh hardened his heart and he would not let the children of Israel go. God allowed 10 plagues to be brought upon that land because Pharaoh would not let God's people go. One of them was the water being turned to blood. The other was frogs across the whole land. The other plague was lice. Couldn't imagine lice in every head in the land. Flies. I hate flies. I hate flies. I couldn't imagine flies in my soup, flies in my food, flies in my bed, flies in my toothpaste and toothbrush and everywhere. Flies. But that's what it was. Flies. Disease of the livestock. Boils. Could you imagine having boils? Not be able to walk or sit or sleep or stand. Hell. Locusts. Darkness over the land. And the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. And you remember the Passover lamb and how they put the blood upon the doorpost. And when they saw the blood, that death angel passed over them. There was a cry over Egypt like it had never been heard before. And I think someone said it from this pulpit not too long ago, that every one of those plagues, I believe, God was proving to them that God's power was greater than their gods. That God of heaven was far greater than anything those magicians could do or fabricate or duplicate. No, God's power was far greater. There are times in our life that we need to stand still and see the power of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 32 and verse number 27. Jeremiah chapter number 32 and verse number 27. The Bible says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing too hard for God. God can do anything. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for our Lord. He can do anything. We need to stand still and see the power of God. In Luke chapter number 1, verse number 37, it says, For with God, nothing shall be impossible. There are impossible situations, humanly impossible. Listen, folks, my faith is not in a vaccine. My faith is not in the medical field. My faith is not in the President of the United States. I thank God for that. I do. But my faith is in God, not in this world. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Guys, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is on our side. Need to stand still and see the power of God. One more verse. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Look, notice this. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You say, well, that's impossible. Not with God. Sometimes you need to stand still and see the power of God. Those Israelites came out of Egypt. They were delivered from their enemies, they thought. And they came to a place where they had to wait and stand still and look for God's power. They had an obstacle in front of them that was far greater than any humanly possible speaking, the Red Sea. The Red Sea is 1,398 miles long. The Red Sea is 1,608 feet at the deepest point. Bible scholars, they argue a bit where they may have crossed, but I'm telling you this, they crossed the Red Sea. They didn't walk around it. They didn't have time because the enemy was behind them. Now, it could have been a shallower point, if you will, but even the shallowest point in all the Red Sea is 300 feet deep. And the shortest distance between one side to another is 9 miles across. They still needed the power of God. They needed the power of God to be evident to deliver them from that evil or from that, if you will, difficulty. And Moses told them, he said, listen, fear not, stand still. Today we face an obstacle. We face some opposition. We don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, stand still. Stand still. There's a song. I'm not going to sing it all to you, but it goes like this. The Father has a plan. Though it's hard to see it now, you feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storms around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life decisions, you're not sure which way to go. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. When the enemies surround you and the walls are closing in, when the tide is swiftly rising and you wonder where He's been, friend, there never was a moment that His arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. First and foremost, we need to stand still and see the power of God. Secondly, tonight and quickly, we need to stand still and sense the presence. I'm sorry, stand still and see the provision of God. See the provision of God. You know, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were eating onions, leeks, garlic. But once they got across that Red Sea, they found themselves in a wilderness for 40 years. 40 years they were wandering in the wilderness. But God never failed them. Every day, a daily provision was given of them, manna from heaven. Oftentimes when I think of daily provision, I think of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Us Americans, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, they're panicked when they walk into a grocery store. I'm like, Seriously? You live in the United States of America and you're panicked about food shortage. I said, come with me to a third world country for 5 minutes. They live from day to day. They have to pray daily for their food. America, suffering, maybe. But when you talk about provision, food, the stuff you need to live from day to day, get on a plane with me when you can, and you'll see what it's like. The children of Israel had to trust God daily. That's what the psalmist said. He daily loadeth us up with benefits. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he bring manna from heaven in a place where there's no food? Yes, he sure can. Everyday provision. He went above and beyond. He gave them quail. He went above and beyond. He gave them water that came from a rock. God's provision for his beloved people. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 29 and verse number 5, he says this, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. He said, listen, God's taking care of your shoes. God's taking care of your clothes. God's taking care of your daily sustenance, your bread, your quail, your water. We have nothing to complain about. I wasn't one of those that stocked up on toilet paper. I didn't do that. I figured if I ran out of toilet paper, I'd go visit Brother Torito. He's got a bodega and that's all I need. Amen. But honestly, folks, I guess I just don't understand it. I just don't truly grasp that mindset. God is the one that will take care of us from day to day. He says in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25. Oh, if you have your Bibles at home, please turn there. It says in Matthew chapter 6 verse 25, the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Don't you know our heavenly Father knows our needs? Don't you know that our heavenly Father feeds these birds every day of their life? They're not sitting outside fretting, stocking up on worms, stocking up on bugs. Every day they wake up and God's daily provision is for them right then and there. The Bible says in verse number 31, it says, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. What are we to do instead of fretting about our daily needs? What are we supposed to do instead of fretting about what we're going to eat? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. You put God first. You seek him first. You read your book. You read the word of God. You pray to him. You call upon him. And I'm telling you, he will take care of you. Seek ye first. The Bible says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the thing of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Stand still and see the provision of God. God brought them through the Red Sea. God brought them through dry ground. God delivered them from one of the oldest, strongest nations on planet Earth, which they were in bondage for over 400 years. God delivered them. God's provision was great. God delivered them from the Amalekites. God brought them through the wilderness. God brought them to the Jordan River. God brought them through the Jordan River. God brought them to Jericho. God had them march around the walls of Jericho, and the walls fell down flat, and a great victory was wrought. You know, it's a lot easier to read a book when you've already know the ending from the beginning. Folks, listen, read the ending. This ends well for all of us. I don't know if this is the end times or not. I have no idea. But all I know is I'm on the right side. Praise God. I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. And if I died today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. I know that. I have peace that passes all understanding. Stand still. See the power of God. Stand still and see the provision of God. Stand still, number three tonight, stand still and sense the presence of God. Look at our text, Exodus chapter 14. And the Bible says, the Lord told Moses in verse 16, but lift up thou thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. Now don't miss this, verse 19 of 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. So to the Egyptians, it was cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other all the night. Can I tell you something? The children of Israel, when they stood still and they looked up and they saw that pillar of fire, they saw that cloud that was representing the presence of God. God was walking with them through the Red Sea. How long did it take if they crossed over in a 9-mile stretch? How long does it take to get 2 million people across the Red Sea? God had the pillar of fire. His presence was well known, and he divided the Egyptians from the Israelites. They came not near to each other the whole night. The presence of God was evident. I said this last week, I'll say it again. When thou walkest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. He said that he is with us whithersoever we go. We read Psalms 23, many funerals. You've heard it time and time again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Aren't you glad tonight to know that God is with you? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. This valley that we find ourselves tonight, God is walking it with us. For I am the Lord thy God, Isaiah says. For I am the Lord thy God. Tonight, why don't you just stand still and sense the presence of God? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And his presence should be well known. And if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, if you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you tonight, listen, friend, you can hear the voice of God through his word, through his preaching, and you can sense the presence of God. You can speak to him. You can call upon him. Been many verses that have encouraged me. Every week seems like God gives me a different verse. First verse he gave me was, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. But I tell you tonight, people are looking for peace. People are looking for peace that passes all understanding. And I'll tell you where you can find peace. You can find it in Jesus Christ. If your faith is in him, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter what turmoil, what tempest, what storm, what wind, what valley. It doesn't matter anymore, because your hope is not in this world. Your hope is in God and him alone. God will bring us through. One way or the other, God's going to bring us through. I mean, if this is the end, God's going to still deliver us out of this present evil world. Just saying, it ends well for us believers. Stand still. Sense the presence of God. Stand still and state the promises of God. Maybe later this week during the greens at hilltop-baptist.com, I'm going to tell you how I've been combating the coronavirus. Things the Lord has put upon my heart to do. I get stir crazy. I truly do. I get stir crazy. If I'm not moving, man. My wife's like, "Hey, honey, you're doing good. I can't believe this. Incredible. This is a miracle in itself." I said, "Yeah, it really is." But the Lord has put some things in my heart. It has helped me to think clearer. And I'll just give you a little secret. It has nothing to do with my rational thinking. It has everything to do with this book. Listening to the word of God preached, hiding this in my heart. I tell you, folks, listen, God will bring us through. There's something we can do tonight. We can state the promises of God. Brother Callen's really connected with all the kids over there at Hilltop, and they're talking to the kids, and today their assignment was about blessings of God, right? Something like that. Three blessings that they can thank the Lord for. Man, that's awesome, man. You know, God is still good. Even in the valley, God is good. God is good all the time. That includes now. God is good. And if you just stop with your family tonight and you begin to state God's blessings and God's promises in your life and you can claim those promises, I'm telling you, it'll put a smile on your face. It'll encourage you in the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, every promise. Hey, let's start reading the Word of God. You're going to find promises there. You're going to find promises there. Joshua chapter 1 verse number 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success." He goes on, he says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." It's a promise. It's a promise. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7. Here's another promise. I'm just reading a couple. I don't have time to read all of these. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Hallelujah, with thanksgiving. "Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds through the Lord Jesus Christ." Come on, folks. State God's promises. Paul goes on to say, But my God shall supply. Oh, come on now. Shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's still on the throne. This has not taken him by surprise. God will supply the need. It's a promise. There's something God cannot do. He can't lie. If he said it, I believe it. Pastor, would you preach this morning? I believe it. That settles it. God said it. We should believe it. Take God at face value that God has not forsaken his own. God will take care of us. We need to help one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to check on one another. Listen, folks, this isn't the time for us to go inward. This is mine. I bought all this toilet paper. This is mine. I'm not sharing a roll with no one. Maybe share a roll. Toilet paper. Folks, I'm telling you, I didn't stock up on food because I know there are people that have stockpiled food for a year. I'll come visit your house. Let me leave you with two verses. Jesus said in John 16:33. John 16:33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer." Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." Who is he that overcometh? Who is that? That's you and me. If you're saved tonight, you're the believer. He that believed that Jesus is the Son of God, that's me. I was born again December 9th, 1989. And listen, I'm on the winning side. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. We've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our commander in chief. He is walking with us through this time. Let us cling the promises. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Stand still. See the power of God. Stand still. See the provision of God. Stand still and sense the presence of God. And stand still and state the promises of God. There's anywhere between 3,000 and 7,000 of them. I think you'll find them. You can't open this book and not find a promise. My goodness, this book is full of those promises. Tonight, it's hard to stand still. It's hard for me to stand still. But right now, God wants us to stand still. And you know what? When we stand still, we get to watch God do the impossible. It's kind of exciting. Not something I can do. Something he can do. Let's pray. Father, boy, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the truth tonight. Lord, I pray for those that are seeking. Lord, there are some seeking, there are skeptics, as we heard this morning. Oh, Father, tonight I pray for those that are seeking. You said the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Father, people are watching us as we walk through this time. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to show people that we have peace and joy in the midst of the storm. Lord, I pray for those that are sick. Lord, those that are hurting. Oh God, I pray you'd raise them up. Lord, I pray you'd protect our loved ones and protect our church members. Lord, we sure miss gathering together in the house of God. Lord, I pray we never take it for granted ever again. Father, thank you for the buildings and the people that you've allowed us to minister to and help and encourage. Lord, I can't wait until that first Sunday or first service back. Lord, to hug their necks. Lord, I miss them. I miss the time, the camaraderie, the fellowship. But until then, Father, we've got to continue to use the means that we have to help our people. I pray, God, that you'd meet their needs, Lord, whatever they may be. I pray, God, they'd call the church. I pray, Lord, they'd reach out to people. Lord, help us to be sensitive to what you'd have us to do and encourage us in the days ahead, Father, to reach out, to help when we can. Father, thank you for the example of Moses and Aaron. Lord, as they stood still, and God, you worked in miraculous ways. Father, it is hard to do, but we must trust you. You said, trust and obey. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Lord, there's so many truths that we can claim tonight because, God, you're in control. I do pray for our president. Father, he's combated on every side. And I pray for our doctors and our nurses, Father, as they're on the front lines trying to fight this virus. God, I pray for an end to this thing, a quick end. And Father, I do pray that we would see a revival like we've never seen before. God, when the doors open once again, that people would flood into the house of God. They wouldn't just come just to come, but God, they'd come to get fed. They'd be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, Father. And Lord, they'd have a hunger and a thirsting for righteousness. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And you're dismissed.